I would like to start my summary of the messages which I wish to give to you with a introductory shloka from Vrindavan Mahimamrita written by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur in the ecstasy of Brajanand, the ecstasy of getting this Paramananda, this highest and supreme Ananda, by staying in Braj. He writes, "Those who take shelter of Vrindavan do not have to suffer the reactions to actions performed or not performed. They cannot be touched by Maya. They are worshipped by all the great qualities. They are desired by all treasures. And they are praised by all the demigods like Lord Brahma. The reason is that they are blissfully counted by Sri Radhika and Madhava themselves as their nearest associates. So you are not liable to suffer the reactions to the actions which you have performed or not performed. We don't care. It is not considered. You are not touched by Maya. You are worshipped by all great qualities. And you are praised by the demigods like Lord Brahma. What is the reason for this? Well, Radhika and Madhava have come in Vrindavan, have seen that you visited their kingdom, and have now counted you as their nearest associates. As Srila Prabhupada said, chantas are put on the list. You are now enlisted. But why don't we realize this, learned facilitator? Why we suffer from tiredness and sometimes mayic attractions, even during a Govardhan retreat? You said, or quoted Prabodhananda Saraswati, that anyone who comes here is not touched by Maya. I feel very much touched by Maya at times. My dear devotees, there is a difference. Once after an initiation, Srila Prabhupada was asked by devotees, we feel the same, Prabhupada. Before the initiation and after the initiation, there is not much of a difference which we can feel. And Srila Prabhupada gave an answer which I feel is very relevant to those who came to the Govardhan retreat and the Japa retreat. He said that, no, it is a question of maturing into the realization. It's a question of immature and mature realization. And he gave an example. When someone is drowning in an ocean, his situation is hopeless. The same person, if he is placed on a boat, may still feel hopeless because he's still in the coma of the drowning man. He may not feel, I'm out of the dangerous ocean and I'm now on the boat and I don't have to drown, because he's still covered by the coma. However, in due course of time, he will wake up from this coma and realize his fortunate situation of being saved. So, in Krishna consciousness, we may still feel the waves of the modes, almost like the person who was drowning and is now on top of a boat, still feels the ups and downs created by the waves of the ocean. Yes, we feel sometimes angry, envious, insecure, and whatever. But in fact and figure, we are on a transcendental list. The list which the Lord has made, where our name is to be found. And it's only a question of time It's only a question of the green mango becoming a mature mango, and one day we will wake up to the fact. Those who visited our Jagatarini, Mataji's present glorious, excellent presentations in a row, heard something about this waking up to another reality towards the end of the play. My dear devotees, in my attempt to share Krishna consciousness with you, I have tried my best to somehow bring you to look deeper inside into the gufa of the heart where Krishna is present and all his associates are present. If I should summarize my little message to you in one sentence, I would say, please do your best and know that Radha Krishna will do the rest. In the Japa retreat, where many of you were present, and also in the Govardhan retreat, I just wish to share something which I have realized in the last few years. Especially this year. What I realized is that we have to give our practice the wing of bona fide spiritual feelings, so that we can come out of a mechanic and often materially tinged practice to a practice where we are ignited with divine feelings for Krishna. During the Govardhan retreat, it was my wish to analyze the Kapanya Panchika prayer as one of the means to bring genuine Krishna conscious feelings into our heart. I talked about eagerness, I talked about the different modes of prayer, and I talked about, inheriting or absorbing the qualities from the Holy Dhamma and from the poetry of Rupa Goswami. This was my desire, and from my little attempts I would summarize what I was wanting to say, that on the first level of your spiritual practice, you practice with your body, you're making sure you're there, you're going through the right motions, you do everything. The next level is to come to the level of the mind, where you, when you chant, for instance, you do mantrata chintata, you meditate about the meaning of the mantra, to absorb your mind in the practice and stop mindless practice. And when you are doing other things, you also, in devotional service, you have to bring your mind into it. And finally, you have to bring your heart, your feelings to it. I very much enjoyed Bhujijan Prabhu's presentations, the one which I could attend, where he was often talking. One time I was there when he talked about the obstacle of the mind and ego, which are not spiritualized, very well spoken, and so on. I would like to do now two things. In other words, my message is simple. Huh? Go deeper from the physical to the mental and then to the real feeling-infused spiritual level. Huh? Now I would like to do two things. The first thing is I would like to invite you to the next Govardhan retreat and Japa retreat, and not only that, I want to invite you to tell your friends if you have felt something that they should come. Many devotees came to me and thing to me, and I always want, of course, that I'm your servant and so on, but it has nothing to do with me. I'm just trying to serve. No. But what I know is, if you repeatedly come to Giriraj, if you repeatedly work on your japa, you will discover something very deep. But it has to be done repeatedly. We are now here, Bhujam Prabhu and Jagatarini Mataji, the seventh year I heard. I'd lost track. And I can tell you what we feel when we talk, as old people do, about our feelings. We say we feel home here. But home means a deep sense of acceptance and being accepted as we are, being protected also by Giriraj. This has developed over the time of a few years. I would like to also invite you to feel home in Krishna consciousness. And this will develop over a few years. It won't happen in 1 year. Please consider your visits to the Govardhan retreat more than just a visit. It's spiritual therapy. Therapy where the layers which cover us as conditioned souls are removed. Bhujam Prabhu and myself and Jagatarini, we want to surprise you one day with a wonderful facility for retreats, if Giriraj allows, and invite you there. But for now, I want to invite you to come and help us establish a Dhamvas culture. That is a culture where devotees come to the holy Dham and feel the atmosphere and let the atmosphere work on them. This is my desire, at least. We will do an interesting web page. There's our Siam Nam Dasi, who will work on this in cooperation with the Vrindavan Institute with the devotees there, and so that other devotees can avail themselves of this possibility. Finally, I would like to end my little message with a little meditation. Yes, I will invite you to meditate on Krishna. There is a verse which I became aware of, which tells us the benefit of meditation about Krishna. It's from the 10th canto, and you will be surprised when you hear it. If even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one attains the supreme position by the mercy of Krishna. Now an example is given for this, because we will doubt, what? Even once I think of Krishna, or if I bring him in the mind by force, I will attain the supreme position by the mercy of Krishna. How is this? The Bhagavad, Shukadev Goswami explained, it is like Agasura. You remember Agasura just swallowed Krishna. He brought him in by force into his system. And the result was, he was liberated from material existence and so on. This is a description of Krishna's quality, of his complete mercy, his unedited complete mercy. Agasura did not perform any sadhana. Agasura did not have the qualifications which Rupa Goswami describes, that is, thinking favorably of Krishna or serving him favorably. Agasura was a sinful demon, but by force Krishna entered into his, I would say it in my words, into his system. Shukadev Goswami says, what then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord. What is to be said about them? So, now I want to bring you into the situation where the form of the Lord will enter into your mind. I don't think I have to force you that by force the form comes into the Lord. It will come naturally. I request that you just, I will not relax you like I do in yoga studios. Just be here. Do we have the wonderful pictures? Molida?
Savisaji.
So, oh yeah.
But maybe.
Maybe for.
To place it, Savya
Sachi. Yes, Savya Sachi, you can maybe place it, this yes. wonderful picture on this wonderful stand.
In this wonderful land.
In this wonderful land. And we will do an exercise where we will bring the form of the Lord in our mind, okay? Are you enthusiastic for this? You will attain the supreme position by this. Here we thought. Yes. You are a very... yes, this is ideal. Please do take your seats. For now, I request you to just calm down. Please look at the beautiful picture of Murali Manohar and try to scan the picture with your attention. Please start at the lotus feet of the Lord. How do they look? What is the position of these lotus feet? Look higher, please, to the beautiful dhoti. The folds of the dhoti. Then go higher to the garlands and to this cloth which is called the pitambara. And just scan with your mind the form. Go higher to his hands. Please look at the expression of Krishna's face. It is a mixture of a smile. He looks in your direction, certainly. He also investigates you, just like you investigate his form now. And move higher to his forehead and then the crown. After having satiated your eyes on the beautiful form, please look at the environment in which Krishna stands. First, the environment as it is depicted in this wonderful picture. Do you see the river? How it winds through Vrindavan? Look at the peacock. The best of parrots. And everything else. Now go to a still bigger picture. Look into the environment as you can behold it with your eyes. Giriraj. And look around. It's important that you look around, because the more impressions you count, the easier will be the meditation which will soon follow. it's time to come to a comfortable sitting position. You should aspire for a stable position where the spine is erect. And it is time now to close your eyes. Yes, your external eyes are closed. Now, please take help of the eyes of your mind. If these eyes are not practiced enough, you may open your eyes and look at the picture again for a help, and then invite the picture again into your heart, where your mind's eye can behold the picture. In your mind's eye, look at the beautiful lotus feet of the Lord, the ankle bells, the dhoti, the garlands, the pitambara, the flute, and that face of the Lord, those eyes who look at you. O best of the devotees, now I will tell you a meditation from the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. I meditate on two-armed Lord Krishna, who is dark like a monsoon cloud, dressed in yellow garments, garlanded with forest flowers. The Lord is crowned with a peacock feather, and garlanded with lotus whorls. His face is splendid like 10 million moons. His eyes move about restlessly. His forehead is marked with tilak of sandal paste and musk. He is splendid with earrings like two rising suns. His cheeks are anointed by perspiration, and they look now like two glistening mirrors. His eyebrows are raised as he playfully glances at the face of his beloved. In the tip of the nose, there hangs a glistening pearl. He has bimba fruit lips, means red. And these lips reflect in the moonlight of his teeth. His hands are splendid with bracelets, armlets, and jewel rings. He holds a flute in his left lotus hand. Around his waist is a splendid, graceful belt. And again, look at his feet. which are splendid with graceful anklets. Now see with your mind eyes a jewel throne under a Kalpa Vriksha tree in Vrindavan's forest. Lord Krishna sits with his beloved on this jewel throne. Sri Radha is dressed in blue garments, splendid like molten gold. Look, with the edge of her garment she covers her graceful lotus smile. And her eyes, like restless Chakori birds, dance on the beloved face of her beloved. The transcendental goddess Sri Radha is the direct counterpart of Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She alone is the pleasure potency of Lord Sri Krishna. O best of devotees, what more can be said? Nothing can exist without Radha and Krishna. This universe, made out of spirit and matter, is only their potency. Nothing, absolute nothing, can exist without their sweet will. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can exist without their divine plan. Kindly open your eyes again. These were verses from the Sanat Kumar Sanghita, in which the divine form of the personalities of the mantras, the Hare Krishna mantra, are described. A very nice book. Hare Krishna. This is the end of my presentation. I was so very happy about your participation. I'm personally very grateful. It was the first time since many months where I was again appearing in public. Please forgive me my imperfection and clumsiness. And sometimes that I was a little ecstatic and unconcentrated. I want to thank you very much. I wish you all the best, and I do hope that you will help, that many devotees in the future can share the mercy of the Holy Dham in many ways. One is obviously to come to such a retreat. Hare Krishna. We will now go to our Jagatarini Mataji. Please place the microphone before her. our example of determination in devotional service. Not even a broken leg or neck. We shouldn't talk like this. Nothing can stop you.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Praskatya Desitarane. So, I was trying to think as Maharaj was speaking how to sum up my presentation. And then it occurred to me that I'm sitting here up high and everybody's sitting lower, just like, you know, when you put a specimen on a table so everyone can see it. So I had this funny feeling that this year's presentation was not so much some spiritual thoughts as kind of coming here and allowing Giriraj to do whatever he wanted to do for whatever reason he chose to do it. And being satisfied with that. When I came to Vrindavan just less than a week before the Japa retreat, because of various busy schedule in Perth, where I live, and other things, I was extremely underprepared for the Lalita Madhava. And I was becoming quite anxious how I was going to present anything at the Govardhan retreat. Then I slipped and fell, and the kneecap was broken, and all of a sudden it seemed as though something quite different was happening, something quite ordinary and disturbing to my consciousness, and in my impression it was certainly going to disturb any presentation that I had had any idea of giving. And then so many practical things had to be done. And I went to the Japa retreat, I would say probably mainly because I thought it would be a little easier on my husband, and also I was thinking that I might be able to participate as well. But you might have, probably anyone who was at the Japa retreat didn't see me, because I didn't have an opportunity to do anything but sit in a room. And I decided at the Japa retreat that this was a great austerity, and I was quite unhappy about things, and had adamantly concluded that it would be the same when I came to the side of Giriraj. I would have to just sit in my room, not participate in the retreat, and thereby be very unhappy. So I considered at that point returning to Vrindavan. I even took a little piece of paper with a Y on it and an N on it, and I put them in front of my Gopinath and went backwards and forwards and asked him whether I should go back to Vrindavan. And then I tried another one, because he seemed to think it was a good idea. Just to check, I tried a V and a G, and I went backwards and forwards again.
V and G, very good and good.
Yes. Vrindavan or Govardhan? And the G kept coming up. So then I thought, all right, I shall give it a try. So I came here, and as soon as I got here by the side of Giriraj, I understood that it would be possible for me to make my presentation. However, I would have to rely completely on the strength that would be provided by Giriraj, because I actually could clearly see I didn't have the physical or the mental state of mind or strength or consciousness. None of it was present. And so then I began to prepare, and I discovered that it took me the whole retreat, whilst everybody else was hearing the lectures that I would have been feeling just completely disappointed about missing, it took me the whole retreat right up until practically now to present what I had actually wanted to present, because I spent most of the day preparing everything. And so suddenly, as the retreat went along and unfolded, I began to see that Giriraj's plan was exactly right, including the accident, including everything. I began to see that it wasn't an accident. But actually, if I wanted to do what I had expressed that I wanted to do with the capacity that I have, which I had expressed that I have, this was Giriraj's merciful way of arranging things. So then I found myself sort of carried along. And it was such a nice feeling, because it didn't have really hardly anything to do with me. All I was asked to do was cooperate. And by Giriraj's mercy, even with the inconvenience involved, it was very manageable. So I feel a little embarrassed when people look at me like I'm doing something extraordinary, because I'm actually feeling like I'm being carried by Giriraj's mercy through a situation that I would otherwise not have the capacity to take part in. So I sit up here like a specimen for you all to look at, an ornament, because I didn't attend any of either of the retreats, basically. And when Maharaj was giving that meditation and I opened my eyes, I thought, my goodness, what have I come here to present? I really haven't been able to focus my mind like that. But then listening to him speak, I tried to bring my mind from the physical to the deeper level. And I came to the same point that I often come to, especially living in the West. And that is that I personally have learned to find living away from Vrindavan as a great benediction. At first I didn't. I found it very difficult because we lived many years here. But by living away from Vrindavan, it's like coming very close to Giriraj. You can see these rocks. You can see everything very clearly, but it's a close-up view. But were you to be able to walk very far back and there were no obstacles to your vision, you would see a very big view. And from that very big view, you would be able to see more of Giriraj than you could see if you were very close. So I found that the thing that always comes to my mind when I'm speaking with devotees or for my very self, for anyone, it's always the same point, that you have to be somehow blessed. I don't know what process or procedure you undertake except to say that you have to be blessed with a comprehension. And of course, in a retreat like this, the opportunity is being given. But you have to be blessed with an understanding that this is reality. And everything else is a reflection of that. And it's a very distorted reflection of that. And so every situation that you're going through in your life, you have to be able to refer back to what is actually reality. This is not reality. This is reality. I'm saying right here in Govardhan the wrong thing. But if I'm anywhere else in the world, I have to say, this, wherever I may be, is not reality. And when this transformation takes place between this, the world, not Govardhan, the world in general as being reality, and Krishna conscious perception of the spiritual realm as being something vague and not very defined and not very specific, and therefore not capturing our attention very well, because we're caught up in all the very specific details and objects and relationships of this world. When Krishna consciousness is vague like that, you cannot make very strong progress. You can make progress slowly. But when this becomes clear to you in the heart that this is real and this world as we know it is very, very, very flimsy. And if you notice, the effect of time is very ethereal. Here I'm sitting like this. 2 weeks ago I was walking around with everyone else. And one day I will be lying, as we all will, and we'll have to leave the body, leave this world, leave everything that we have invested our full attention in, and we will have to go somewhere else. So every moment is passing in such an ethereal, unreal, peculiar way that people are immersed in trying to work out how to manage it. But the answer is, you can't manage it. It's going to pass you by like a river, the waves of a river or the scenes of a movie. And so you should try to get your attention and hold it on what is actually real. Where is that reality? That from that place, I never have to come back and go through all the things that I cannot avoid in this world. And Srila Prabhupada speaks about life for the ordinary man, and I have to say for the ordinary woman, and I would have to certainly place myself at the top of the list, is an involvement in trying to get more happiness and avoid more suffering. And this mechanics is what is going on constantly. And because this is going on so actively, we're forgetting and missing the point that actually this is just as Prabhupada said, this is called the struggle for existence. But Vrindavan is real. Vrindavan is real. And so when we come here, we just, as Maharaj was saying, we're enlisted. But as he was also pointing out, we're still in the boat. And apart from the fact that the boat is on the ocean, and you may still have a coma from being in the ocean, not only that, the boat is rocking because of the waves underneath the boat. And that very thin layer of wood that creates the boat seems not quite enough security, but it is. But still you may feel a little seasick as you journey across that ocean to the place where we all belong. And until we get this right, we're just going to have to come back here and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. And we're going to have different things we choose, that we want, we don't want, different struggles. But if this occurs, that this by somehow, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, that we understand this point, that Krishna is ours and we belong with him, then you just have to tolerate the tossing of the ocean. You have to tolerate the coma. You have to tolerate the other thing, especially with the help of friends. So I've had a chance being here to be so much helped by the other devotees that it softens the heart. But you have to be in difficulty before you receive help. You don't need help unless you're in difficulty. So Krishna very kindly says, at the right time, in his own loving way, some difficulty is due to you now. Please accept it. Please forgive me if it feels a little, you feel a little nauseous. And please continue with your boat ride because I'm taking you across that ocean. So these are the things that I myself have learned from the association with the devotees and from the retreats this year. And as far as my presentation of Lalita Madhava, that's also been very beneficial for me, and I hope for the devotees who have heard it, because it's giving you very specific information and experience of what Krishna's pastimes are actually like. And we really, really need that. Without that, how will we give up all the attractions, so-called, that are drawing people's attention towards matter? So I'll stop here and let the other devotees, my husband, speak. But thank you very much for all your kindness, and thank you for coming. And Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai! Hari Bol!
He's so kind.
He's so kind.
Om Gyanata Mirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Simlitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantiko.
I have so many papers and books in front of me that you might think that I'm ready to give another class. And indeed, if you were thinking in that way, you'd be correct. I don't mean it in that sense. And maybe if I can get to the end, then I'll consider making a summary.
Sati, the prayers of the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita of the Parikrama. If you will read one verse, and if you have your sheets, you can certainly follow along from the beginning.
লোকেরা সঙ্গতে দেখি মথুরা ছড়িয়া একান্তে অক্রুরা তীর্থে রহিলাশিয়া.
Seeing a great crowd assembled at Mathura, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and went to Akrura Tirtha. He remained there in a solitary place. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and took his bath at Kaliya Lake and Prashkanand. After seeing the holy place called Prashkanand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Dwadasa Ditya. From there, he went to Keshi Tirtha. And when he saw the place where the rasa dance had taken place, he immediately lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. When the Lord regained his senses, he began to roll on the ground. He would sometimes laugh, cry, dance, and fall down. He would also chant very loudly. Thus being transcendentally amused, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that day happily at Keshi Tirtha. In the evening, he returned to Akrura Tirtha, where he took his meal. The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Vrindavan and he took his bath in Chirgat. Chirgat.
Wait. I don't want to leave Chirgat yet. This is a very... Maharaj, Benzi. Chirgat is a wonderful place, a kadamba tree. Please play, Mataji, if you can. Where a wonderful pastime took place. It is called Chehangat also because after Krishna killed the Keshi demon, and we saw Keshi Tirtha yesterday, after Krishna killed the Keshi demon, Krishna rested under this tree. So it is called Chehangat, where, which means Krishna rested there. And also, some people say that Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis, or they were young gopis while they were performing the Katyayani Vrata. And he very cleverly, as they were in the cold waters, he was so transcendentally naughty that he took their clothes and made them come out of the water and beg for them back. And then as he did that, he was still more so naughty that he said, "You have created a great offense to Varuna by bathing here. And therefore you have to offer your obeisances to Varuna." He is so naughty. We can say
that amongst his unlimited qualities, his naughtiness is also unlimited, but is all, amazingly enough, completely transcendental. Krishna's activities are the Lord playing with his energies, practically speaking, and there is not the slightest trace of lust in anything that Krishna does. And then, after resting in this Chirgat or Chehangat, Krishna then went to Tentuli Tal, where he took rest. Tentuli Tal is also called Imli Tal. Tentuli means the same thing as Imli, a tamarind tree. It's an Imli tree. And those of us who came to Vrindavan in the early days, we actually saw this tree while it was living. But now, it has departed from this world. This tree is so old that it was present during the time of Krishna's pastimes. And it played an important part in the Rasa Lila dancing of Krishna. Because when Srimati Radharani became angry and left the Rasa dance, and then Krishna went to her, and then Srimati Radharani, there's so many explanations of what happened, but one of them is that Srimati Radharani said, you've taken me alone now, and let me climb upon your shoulders, and you can take me anywhere you want. Now, if one understands what makes the sweet taste in rasa or relationship, one will understand that Krishna at this particular time was completely under the control of Srimati Radharani. Completely. She had run away from the rasa dance, and he could not enjoy the rasa dance without Ladini Shakti, his personal internal energy, his potency. Mataji, if we can still play, if we can. So, he was completely under the control, the technical Sanskrit word is Swadini Bhartrika. She was the heroine and he was subordinate. But then, when she said, became submissive to him and said, take me anywhere you like, then he was in a submissive mood and she was in a submissive mood and there was no churning of emotions. So Krishna said, I have to do something very unsubmissive. And he disappeared again. Krishna seems, and we can see this in our own lives perhaps, that he appears and disappears as he likes. So when he disappeared from Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani started crying and crying and crying in complete separation. But what did Krishna do? The Bhagavatam doesn't describe that. The Bhagavatam doesn't describe that. But the Stala Praman, the local people explain that he went to this Imli Tal and he just simply felt separation from Srimati Radharani. And in the midst of that separation, thinking about Srimati Radharani, you'll never guess what his sham, darkish complexion, what it changed into. Yes, it changed into the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani. Krishna feeling separation. So then, thousands of years later, under the same tree, which has now departed from this world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and he would chant his japa under this tree, feeling separation. Now, although this tree has left from this world, I happen to have three little pieces of it over here. And if anyone has the desire, they can touch these three pieces to their head. Are you wearing yours? Mataji is wearing hers as well. So there, at Tentuli Tal, Mahaprabhu took rest, Imlit Tal. And then the next verse, 76. The tamarind tree named Tentuli Tal was very old, having been there since the time of Lord Krishna's pastimes. And beneath that tree was a very shiny platform. Since the Yamuna River flowed near Tentuli Tal, a very cool breeze blew. And while there, the Lord saw the beauty of Vrindavan and the water of the river Yamuna. He just sat there and experienced the ecstasies that of the pastimes that took place. He saw the beauty of Vrindavan. Here is one picture of the beauty of Vrindavan taken from Dwadasa Ditya Til, where the Madan Mohan temple is situated. And the Yamuna is there. And the rich agricultural Braja lands are there. How wonderful. Maybe we can put this one up. Yes. Oh, I didn't even show you.
I have seen it.
Okay. And then also, he saw the beauty of the river Yamuna. And sometimes, as we know, that this is a little bit of a tangent, but I hope it is a diversion that will make you happy. That sometimes, in the midst of a disaster or an unfortunate situation, just like Mataji was speaking of, there is the seed of something very fortunate. So, in my presentation, have any of you noticed this in your life? Sometimes? Some of you have noticed. But I sent in the pictures, the photographs, to make all the photographs that I would use. But instead, a disaster occurred. There were 12 photographs that I would use. But instead, they made 12 photographs of this one. And I thought, oh no. And then I thought, perhaps some of the devotees might like this photograph.
You've got a difficult problem now.
Yeah. So, but I will tell you, one way I resolved it is that the poor VIHG had to pay for them. And I will tell you exactly how much they cost. It wasn't expensive. It was only 175 rupees. Not very much for this. So if anyone would like one, we will have a shop after that. And in this shop, we will not only distribute these pictures to those devotees who wish to take them, we will also distribute Satchinanda Maharaj's books. And I have not asked him, and also the books that I've written, including this one and Surrender Unto Me,
And also, I have not personally asked you, would you, if anyone buys one, will you, if they come to you, will you sign it?
If you sit there and sign, then I will also sit and sign.
How about if I sit in my room and sign?
Yeah.
Can we sit together?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Or we can sit outside. We can work
in
it out.
Shade.
In the shade. So these books will be available also, but not only will these books be available, I also thought that all the photos that we took and was showing, if the devotees want those, they can have them too. But somehow or another, because of the emergency, when I came to Govardhan, we didn't have these photos, because actually I didn't want to look at them, what was inside the container, until we got to Govardhan. And then I looked and I saw they were all the same photo. And I said, oh no! So we had to send for an emergency to Govardhan to get them, and they charged us a little more, but not very much more. The other ones are 200 rupees. Not very much. But if you want to give a little more to the VIHC, it's okay. We will not complain. And there are also other photos of the Yamuna, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, very good, yeah. Very talented.
Yeah. But
all photographed by Burijan Prabhu.
It's true. This is my pleasure, wandering and photographing. So Mahaprabhu saw the beautiful pictures of the Yamuna. Now, one thing I will say, that some of them, I had to crop them a little close, so when they blow up, they have a little grains. They're a little grainy, but you can't see from a distance. This one.
Wonderful.
What do you think?
That's me when I'm old.
It's funny you say that. I was thinking that was you maybe some lives ago. And thinking, I wonder what strudel tastes like. This is a very wonderful place, actually. Ooh, all of these places are so wonderful. We should absorb our consciousness in the wonders of Braja, but not in just in the drishtaman, in the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what we can see, but in the deeper meanings, the pastimes, activities, and the love that was exchanged in these most holy places. Because the pastimes and activities of Krishna and his beloved Brijbasis, they cannot take place in any other place other than Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki. Maybe the next verse.
Nam Rishan Kirtan Madhyan Kori Yashi Kori Akrure Bhujan.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to sit beneath the old tamarind tree, and he would chant the holy name of the Lord. Just imagine how much love was in Mahaprabhu's chanting, sitting under the tamal tree. The Imli tree, Imli Tal. And at noon he would return to Akrura Tirtha to take lunch. All the people who lived near Akrura Tirtha came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And due to the large crowds, the Lord could not peacefully chant the holy name.
Vrindavane ashi prabhu vashiya ekanta nam sankirtane kore madhyana paryanta.
Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Vrindavan and sit in a solitary place.
where he would chant the holy name until noon. In the afternoon, people were able to speak to him. Interesting. They could speak to him, and therefore they could say anything that they wanted. But regardless of what they said, the Lord told everyone the importance of chanting the holy name, Nama Sankirtan. I would like to read just a few, dare I say, short sections of holy scriptures. One is something I included in here, where Prithu Maharaj says, when the Lord asks him for a benediction, whatever you want, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Kolaveshya Sridhar, whatever you want, I will give you. So similarly, Lord Vishnu asked Prithu Maharaj, whatever you want, I'll give you. Just imagine if Krishna asked us that, whatever you want, I will give you. What would we ask for? It's important to think about this point. What would you ask for? Because later on, we will have the opportunity to ask Giriraj for whatever we want. But here is how Prithu Maharaj responded. My dear Lord, I do not wish to have the benediction of merging into your existence. Does anyone here wish to have the benediction of merging into Krishna's impersonal Brahman effulgence? Anyone? Not here. A benediction in which there is no existence of the nectarian beverage of your lotus feet. I don't want that. The removal of all miseries and suffering. But what I do want is the benediction of at least 1 million ears. For thus I may be able to hear about the glories of your lotus feet from the mouths of your pure devotees. Now Srila Rupa Goswami has taken that very sweet concept and expanded it. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire millions of ears, many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. And as Srila Rupa Goswami expanded the thought of Prithu Maharaj millions of times, similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expanded the thought of Rupa Goswami millions and millions and millions of times. I think if you would read it, I think it would be thorough poetic for everyone to hear this.
Here's the expanded meaning of Srila Rupa Goswami's prayer by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Please listen, it is quite amazing. Please give me millions of bodies and millions of mouths in each body. By your mercy, place millions of tongues in each mouth. O Lord, may your millions of transcendent qualities dance on those tongues. What is the use of a soul that does not have millions of bodies? And what is the use of a body that does not have millions of mouths? Further, what is the use of a mouth that does not have millions of tongues? What is the use of a tongue, I asked you, that does not chant your millions of names? O Lord, may I perpetually have hundreds of bodies, and may each body have thousands of mouths. May each mouth have millions of tongues, and may each tongue chant millions of your holy names. O Madhava, wherever and whenever anyone chants your names and pastimes at any time, there may I with millions of ears eternally drink your nectar. May I have millions of ears and millions upon millions of tongues. Then, O Lord, I will be eternally and happily engaged in hearing and chanting your pastimes. May I have millions of ears, millions of eyes, millions of hearts and minds, and millions of tongues. Hearing about, seeing, and embracing the ocean of your handsomeness, I will drink its sweetness. May I have millions of eyes, ears, noses, tongues, and chests, so that I may continually taste the nectar of your handsomeness, your sweet sounds, your sweet fragrance, and your embrace. May I have millions of feet to go to your side. May I have millions of hands to serve you. May I have millions of intelligences to teach that service. O Lord Madhava, please grant me these boons.
This is the mood of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has unlimited desires to serve Krishna. A little more about the holy name and how to chant it. This is from Padyavali, compiled by Rupa Goswami. From here.
I am drowning in the painful, fathomless whirlpool of repeated birth and death. O Lord, O friend of the shelterless, O effulgent moon of mercy, please, this one time, quickly extend your hand to save me. This mango tree in Vrindavan is now overwhelmed by remembering you. It dances, moving its branches in the breeze. It sings in the form of these humming bees. It sheds tears in the form of these many drops of honey, and its hair stands erect in ecstasy in the form of these new sprouts. O Mukunda, as dear to me as my own life, why is this tree so filled with love for you? And who am I, who am so hard-hearted that even your name will not enter my heart? This is from Srila Ishwarapuri. Then, O Lord Hari, O form of mercy, you quickly rescued both Draupadi and Gajendra. What has happened to that quick action now that I suffer so acutely? From Sri Utkal. O Lord Yadavendra, I am very fallen. And when I remember your name, Dinabandhu, the friend of the fallen, I become encouraged. And when I hear that you love your devotees, my heart trembles. From Sri Jagannath Sen. O Lord Brahma and his associates offer prayers to you. Lord Shiva and his associates are full of love for you. And Indra and the demigods are your servants. Who are we in comparison to them? Sri Dhananjaya. O Lord, no one is more merciful than you, and no one is more pathetic than I. I am very lowly and fallen. O Lord Yadunath, please reflect on my case and do to me whatever is appropriate. The author of this verse is unknown. O Lord, in this birth I have not meditated on you, I have not glorified you, I have not even slightly worshipped you or developed any devotion for your lotus feet. And that is why I suffer in this condition. I am very poor and fallen. O Sri Krishna, O ocean of mercy, please be compassionate upon me. This is from Shankar. Beaten by the 100 whips of material sufferings, the horse of my mind runs wildly on the bad road of the senses. O Lord Madhava, please pull up the reins of devotional service and stop this horse and tie it to the post of your lotus feet. I have no goal in life, and I have committed countless offences. O Lord Hari, O Murari, you are my shelter. O Madhusudan, Vasudev, O Vishnu, O glories to you, please protect me, please protect me. O Lord Murari, during the middle, beginning, and end of all days and nights, you always remain the only goal of our lives. From Sri Dakshinatya. O my Lord, O Krishna, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen in this horrible ocean of nescience. Now please, be causelessly merciful to me and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. This one is from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Just a few words. A few prayers, eight prayers, because Mahaprabhu was appreciating the beauty of Vrindavan. But I would like to read just eight short prayers by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur to Vrindavan. Although nectar is available, I drink poison. Although I have beautiful eyes, I am practically blind. Please repeat these words in your own mind as you hear them. I always increase my material bondage, which is the cause of my misery. O Mother Vrindavan, my only hope in life is that you are most affectionate. Therefore, you will pull me out of worldly association and give me shelter upon your lap. The lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya are far away, and the formidable age of Kali has arrived. Therefore, how can one obtain love for Sri Krishna without having intense attachment for the land of Vrindavan? My uncontrolled senses, which are like enemies, are constantly giving me distress by binding me in the miserable prison house of material existence. Oh, Hari, please deliver me. Alas, I am always suffering from the poisonous arrows of Cupid. Alas, alas, despite residing in Vrindavan, I have not developed any attachment to Krishna, and I am not detached from my senses. What will I do now? Alas, I am totally blinded by lust and anger, and I am fully controlled by greed. Yet, I reside at the place of Sri Radha's pastimes and desire the supreme goal. I have no shame. My heart is bewildered by material desires, yet I am still desiring to achieve the highest mood, which is a secret even to the Vedas and other scriptures. Therefore, I reside in Vrindavan and take full shelter of the Lord's mercy. Oh, when will I reside in Vrindavan like a helpless person? And at the same time, when will I glorify the transcendental pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna while condemning material enjoyment because of achieving supreme bliss within the heart and while loudly crying out, oh, my dear Lord,
oh,
Shyama Sunda.
Oh,
and finally, the abode of Vrindavan is the great deliverer of all fallen souls. The abode of Vrindavan is the protector of persons who are afraid of the poisonous snake of material existence. The abode of Vrindavan is the giver of spiritual ecstasy by turning everyone towards the supreme goal. And the abode of Vrindavan is the object of glorification for great souls. And it is the beloved land of Sri Radhika Raman. And the abode of Vrindavan is my life and soul. A few also very simple prayers from Sri Brajavilastav, glorifying the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. But I will read just three or four or five, or maybe six. The highwaymen, lust, greed, and anger have captured me and bound me with the ropes of the desire for fame. I pray that the heroic devotees of Krishna, who is the enemy of Aga, may defeat my captors and cut that rope that binds me. I am scorched by the blazing forest fire of old age. I am deeply bitten by the poisonous snake of blindness. I am pierced by the sharp arrows of forced dependence on others. And I am surrounded by the lions of lust, anger, and greed. O Krishna, please give me the nectarian potion of pure love for you, which will make me strong and heroic enough to resist all the enemies and engage in your devotional service without deviation. By tasting a single drop of the memory of the transcendental nectar ocean, of the sweetness of the divine couple, my heart has become restless. I bowed down before the land of Braja. I yearn to see my two masters. Even today, affectionate Lord Krishna enjoys the very sweet nectar of transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. He herds the cows with his brother and his many dear friends. A wonderful sweetness becomes manifest in the heart of they who understand the nectar of Vrindavan, of Braja, which is more dear even than the city of Mathura. I take shelter. When aimlessly, with no purpose, just simply wandering around Govardhan Hill, will I madly call out, "Oh Radha,
oh Radha,
oh Krishna,
oh Krishna,"
again and again. Not calling out again and again, but calling out, "Oh Radha and Krishna," ceaselessly, ceaselessly, continuously, again and again, Raghunath Das prays. When will I stumble as I walk and sprinkle the places of Krishna's pastimes with the tears from my eyes? Neither Brahma, Narada, Shiva, or the great devotees with pure love of Krishna are able to properly or completely understand the sweetness of the Lord's land of Braja. Only Balaram and his mother Rohini, who are both filled with transcendental love, are able to understand the land of Braja. How is it possible to describe this land? Even if I have the opportunity to bathe in the nectarian ocean of pure love of Krishna, and even if I have the pure devotees of the infallible personality of Godhead as my associates, I will not consent to live even for a single moment in any sacred place other than Brajabhumi. And even if the residents of Braja appear to be ordinary, and even if they fill my ears with useless gossip, I pray that I may remain among them, eternally residing here in Braja. The 2 feet of Srimati Rupa Manjari, who is full of love for Lord Krishna, and who expertly worships Srimati Radharani, are the only goal of my life. These verses, which bear the title Brajavilas Stava, are very graceful and beautiful, and they are filled with the splendid and charming sweetness of the residents of Braja. And they who regularly read these verses with great respect and greedy enthusiasm will be able to directly see the divine couple surrounded by their associates in this land of Braja. We just have to finish reading the whole Krishna book right now, and then we will end. One last prayer in the words of Srila Prabhupada. He is repeating the words of Narada Muni, after Narada glimpses some of the opulences of Krishna in Dwarka, but yet very relevant for us. My dear Lord, you have very kindly asked what you can do for me. In answer to this, I simply request that I may not forget your lotus feet at any time. I do not care where I may be, but I pray that I constantly be allowed to remember your lotus feet. By asking this benediction from the Lord, the sage Narada showed the ideal prayer of all pure devotees. A pure devotee never asks for any kind of material or spiritual benediction from the Lord. His only prayer is that he may not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of his life. A pure devotee does not care whether he is put into heaven or hell. He is satisfied anywhere, provided he can constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the same process of prayer in his Shikastak, in which he clearly stated that all he wanted was devotional service, birth after birth. A pure devotee does not even want to stop the repetition of birth and death. To a pure devotee, it does not matter whether he has to take birth again in the various species of life. His only ambition is that he not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of life. One short summary of all the classes. In the first class, we talked about the purpose of parikrama, pilgrimage, and how we are placing ourselves in a holy place with big spiritual desires and dependent on Krishna's mercy. Then in the second class, we spoke about Akura Tirtha and the two pastimes that took place there. One was the wonderful prayers by a Mathura Vasi, which praised the Lord and appreciated how great he was. And Sanatana Goswami described those prayers as dry. And next came the mood of the Brijbasis when they were confronted with the great opulence of Krishna, even though it was Krishna when he was being prayed to by the personified Vedas. They did not care for that at all. The Brijbasis' love is so dominant that the knowledge of Krishna's Aishwarya becomes minimized. Next, after hearing about the speciality of the love of the Brijbasis, we saw their love displayed when Krishna was enwrapped in the coils of Kaliya. The Brijbasis' love is so special. And then yesterday we heard of the most special of all Brijbasis and their love, the Brajagopis. And no matter what Krishna did to them, they were only concerned with him. So there was a progression. And Mahaprabhu relished these leelas, and then he told everyone the process of attaining this love, and that was the holy names of Krishna.